This is episode number 331 of the To Birth and Beyond podcast.
We're so excited to have you with us on this episode of To Birth and Beyond. I'm Jessie Mundell, mom, kinesiologist, and fitness coach to pregnant and current moms.
And I'm Anita Lambert, mom, pelvic health, and orthopedic physiotherapist with a focus on women's health. On the show, we provide information and education on fitness, the pelvic floor, fertility, pregnancy, birth, postpartum, and women's health. We offer a brave space to have candid and vulnerable conversations on the struggles and joys of motherhood, including all aspects of our physical, mental, and emotional health.
While you're listening in, please remember that the information on the show is not meant to diagnose or treat any medical conditions. Please speak with your medical provider for all things related to your healthcare.
We're so excited to have you. Let's dive into today's show.
Hey friends, it's Jessie jumping in really quick to let you know that enrollment is opening on April 17th for the next class of the Prenatal and Postnatal Fitness Specialist Academy. This is our online self-paced certification to help you learn how to skillfully and profitably coach pre and postnatal plus pelvic health clients or patients to improve floor function, fitness, strength, performance, and positive body image. You'll save $500 by joining the waitlist and be notified immediately when spots open for registration, April 17th. So go ahead, set yourself apart in your industry with our pregnancy, postpartum, and pelvic health coaching certification that is truly unlike any other on the market. Go to the link in today's show notes and add your name to the waitlist.
Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of To Birth and Beyond. It's Jessie Mundell, and today we're so lucky to be joined by Dr. Courtney, and we're going to be talking all about returning to exercise after pelvic organ prolapse diagnosis. So Courtney, welcome on the pod.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm stoked to be here. Talk about all things prolapse and pelvic health.
Yeah, I'm so excited to talk with you. This is the first time we've actually chatted face to face, so it's exciting for me to get to talk to and nerd out on prolapse with someone new. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to be here.
Okay, so before we dive in, can you just tell everyone what do you do professionally and kind of what was your journey to getting to this point in your career?
Yeah, of course. So I am now a pelvic floor physical therapist, been a physical therapist for 4 years, been a pelvic floor physical therapist for 3 of these years. And now I'm 100% virtual full-time now. I work with women all over the world, doing pelvic floor health coaching and pelvic floor PT rehab coaching, from the comfort of their home. So it was a long journey to get here. I definitely didn't start here. I started in like a typical, you know, graduated from PT school and, you know, went into the outpatient physical therapy world. And I've always wanted to work with athletes, female athletes specifically. And I, you know, started in that realm of, you know, treatment, but I knew that I wouldn't be able to actually treat women or even female athletes in the capacity that I wanted to, without being a pelvic floor specialist, because I was immersed like in the CrossFit community when I was in PT school, and oh Lord, the amount of pelvic floor issues that occur in that high level of sport is absurd. And so I learned all about it and I was like, okay, I want to help these women, you know, aside from just like a shoulder injury, a back injury, you know, I really saw a lot of women postpartum and even pregnancy, who struggled during that time period of life with leakage or prolapse or pelvic pain, or, you know, like the susceptibility, susceptibility of injury.
There we go.
Yeah. Susceptibility of injury is so prevalent in the pregnancy and even postpartum. And so, we're not talking just like low back injuries or knee pain. We're talking like pelvic floor injuries. And that, and if the way we think about it is like prolapse is like a, you know, shoulder injury, but it's of the pelvis, right? It's those muscles are just like any other muscle in the body. And so I knew that in order to actually help these women, in the full capacity and treat them as a whole person, I had to be a pelvic floor specialist. And so, you know, got into that, took those courses, became certified 3 years ago, took a bunch of continuing education as far as like managing the fitness athlete, pregnancy and postpartum. I took a lot of like the Institute of Clinical Excellence courses, APTA courses, Evidence in Motion, learned from like the Anthony Lowe, and took all the knowledge and resources, and then just ran with it and started working kind of like a side hustle outside of outpatient PT, where I was treating athletes out of like a CrossFit gym and working with people like kind of virtually that I knew from other CrossFit gyms. And then eventually I was like, all right, I'm pulling the plug. I'm going all in on my business. And now it's just become a thing for me where I'm able to serve and help women worldwide, kind of bridge that gap. So I really like working with, the everyday athlete. Like when I say athlete, we're not talking like women's NBA, WNBA, Caitlin Clark here all the time, but we're talking like, the recreational athlete, a woman who just likes to go to maybe her Orange Theory class, her spin class, like pregnancy or during pregnancy, during postpartum, just trying to stay active, and she's unable to because she has leakage or she has prolapse. And specifically, like on the topic today that we're going to talk about is just lifting and getting back into exercise after having a prolapse diagnosis can be so daunting and so scary. And, you really aren't sure of that diagnosis in general. And, that lack of like education is really missing for women who get that diagnosis. A lot of providers and even like friends and family, like, hey, I have that too. My doctor told me I can't lift more than 20 pounds anymore. And it's like, well, your toddler's 35 pounds. What do you mean you can't lift more than 20 pounds? And so I have built my business around the belief of really helping women get strong and confident despite whatever diagnosis they've gotten. And it really, really helps seal that gap between getting into physical therapy, where most women will get sent, if they have that diagnosis, or, hopefully they get sent there. And sometimes they're just not getting the actual care that they need for their specific sport. So we're talking higher level athletics, so triathletes, people who want to do an Ironman, a marathon, we're talking CrossFitters, powerlifters, just women in general who have become pregnant in postpartum. And now they're like, okay, I don't know what to do. I have this new diagnosis, and now my identity is like completely shifted. And how do I find myself again? How do I work out again? So that's where I come in, and I love helping women specifically in this area get back to doing what they love to do and, finding themselves postpartum again.
Amazing. We love all of that so much. We're big fans of regardless of what is happening with your pelvic floor, what symptoms or issues you might be experiencing, we're gonna work with you to get you back to doing all the things that you might want to do or love to do, and not seeing these diagnoses as something that, inherently or necessarily has to be limiting and take you out. So same page, 100%.
Yeah. And it's like, it's just honestly, it's just a lot of missing education out there and spreading of misinformation too. Like there's a lot of providers and even, friends and family members who are older generation of us that don't have the current evidence that support like, hey, you can lift again. You can do, running and box jumps and doing whatever you want to do despite a diagnosis. It just comes down to managing your symptoms and making sure you can breathe properly and engage your core, and like you don't have to take a step back. Like you don't have to give up all of the things that you love because you had a baby. It's just not, that's not true anymore. Evidence doesn't support it.
Yeah, it's so interesting because I am in such a bubble most of the time with, fellow like-minded providers like you who think very similarly to me. So I so often think that, oh yeah, this is just how it is. This is what all the people are telling their clients and patients. But then when you take like one foot outside of that, or I hear feedback from some of my clients who have gone to pelvic PTs, and the advice still is very different, kind of fear-mongery. People are still getting scary advice, unnecessarily scary advice. I'm like, dang, we still have a long road.
And there are so many clinicians who are also like stepping outside of being a clinician and going into the world of research to get more data. Right, we need more pregnant, more postpartum women who have like a prolapse diagnosis, or leakage, or any type of diagnosis, to be a participant, to be like, hey, this is me. I would love to like be a part of research. I would love to like change that narrative for women going forward. So it goes both ways. Like we need participants, but we also need clinicians to be able to step out of the clinical world and be like, hey, like, let's change something. You know, obviously we can do our part with, you know, treatment, but also like, let's find new data. Let's do new studies to make sure that we can get this in front of providers so we can actually change this narrative, because it is safe. It is like, we can do these things again. It doesn't have to be black or white, right?
Yeah, totally. Okay, so let's get into it. I kind of see this as happening two ways. So people who have a pelvic organ prolapse diagnosis and haven't started returning to exercise postpartum. But then there's also the people who have been exercising already, noticing, okay, something's up, something's not feeling quite as it should or as I normally expected to in my pelvic floor, go to PT, get a prolapse diagnosis, and are then like, what the hell do I do? Do I go back to what I was doing? Do I have to now enter back into or continue exercising in a different way? So I want to talk about both of those.
Yeah.
Largely, it's going to be so much of the same thing, but I think that we probably have people listening in who are kind of on both sides of the spectrum. Yeah. So let's start with the person who is maybe quite early postpartum, has gone to pelvic PT, you know, maybe at their 6 week postpartum checkup, they're diagnosed with, let's say, a grade 2 cystocele or bladder prolapse, and they want to get back to exercise. That's their next move.
Yeah.
How do you guide them from there?
Yeah, absolutely. So if it is super early on, like 6 weeks, that's a cautious time period, right? Like 6 weeks, that's still pretty early. And sometimes things just haven't shifted back to normal yet, right? So it's kind of one of those diagnoses that's like, okay, let's take it with a grain of salt right now and proceed forward with caution. Because sometimes, especially if like the parity is like 3 or 4 or 7, like however many kids you've had, your diagnosis really is going to depend on your body's level of recovery too, right? Like, how well are you sleeping? How well are you managing stress? Like, we have to look outside of just actual physical recovery, and we have to look at like whole body metrics. So if we're coming in at 6 weeks and you have a diagnosis of like a grade 2, let's check it, you know, in supine, let's check it in standing, let's check it in multiple positions. And let's also take into account, like, are you breastfeeding, right? So there's so many influences that can impact the level of like tissue, kind of like the amount of that it's like kind of dropped inside of the pelvis, like the elasticity, like those types of healing measures we have to take into account, because like not every single diagnosis is like a true diagnosis, especially at 6 weeks, right? Because it's still so early. So if we're, you know, looking at the patient as a whole and we're like, okay, how's everything else? Are you stressed out of your mind? Are you not sleeping? Are you a first-time mom? Are you a single mom? Like, let's look at all of these things, because your diagnosis might not be as accurate. So it's one of those things. It's like, let's monitor it. But no matter what, say it's a grade 2 right now, you know, the goal is obviously let's get it to a grade 1. Pelvic floor physical therapy supports, the data supports that we can at least reverse prolapse by at least 1 to 2 stages. And so, okay, the goal is a grade 1. Maybe it's a grade 0, right? Let's get it back to normal. But more than anything, whatever the grade is, let's get you symptom free. Because no matter what, with a prolapse diagnosis, like you can be symptomatic and you can be asymptomatic, right? Somebody who has a grade 3, like almost falling out of their body, can be completely asymptomatic. And somebody who is a grade 1 can be so symptomatic, right? So it really, really depends. And I absolutely hate labeling the grade. We like to do it just as a clinical, like a clinician standpoint, like, hey, this is what we need to put on paper to show that we're progressing. And sometimes two women like to, hey, you're a grade 3, now you're a grade 1. But more than anything, I hate diagnosing it, because women hold on to that. Not even women. I don't mean to say that, but people in general hold on to diagnoses like it's a plague, like it is bad, right? Like, I hear it all the time. Well, you know, my knees hurt because I just have arthritis. You know, I have a degenerative disc disease in my back, so now I have chronic pain forever. And it's like, no, let's not identify as a degenerative disc disease or grade 3 prolapse. So I really, really hate labeling. So at that 6 week mark, I would hey, like, things might not be back to normal right now. You're still healing. This is what I'm coming across right now, but this doesn't mean it's absolute. So let's focus on strategies right now that we can actually use to get you feeling asymptomatic and hopefully reverse that grade, right? But let's also look at other recovery metrics. How are you sleeping? How is your stress? What kind of support do you have around you, right? All of these other things, so that way we can bring them outside of the world of this diagnosis and be like, okay, I can control this. This is in my control. I can check in with my stress and sleep and physical activity. I can make sure I'm breathing when I pick up my baby. I can make sure I know how to breathe. I can activate my core. I can activate my pelvic floor. And we give, and I like to personally give them things that like goals to work towards to get them out of the mindset of like, I have a new diagnosis and now this is becoming my entire identity. So the biggest thing at like that 6 week mark is I just a ton of, reassurance, a ton of like autonomy, like, hey, we can do something about this. This doesn't have to be the way it is. You're only 6 weeks postpartum. If we're talking like 2 months down the line, 3 months postpartum, then that narrative changes a little bit for me personally, not instilling any fear or, making them worried because they're now 3 months and they still have it. But I'm just reassuring at different time points, like, hey, this is what we know. It's not absolute.
Yeah, such good advice. I think that's just so important to highlight too, that the pelvic organs, so for example, when we're talking about bladder, uterus, rectum, as we often will see with a pregnant or postpartum person, those pelvic organs are not static in place as, throughout our whole lives. There's going to be some
Absolutely.
natural movement and fluctuation to them. And I think that that is so important for people to know with this too.
My goodness, yeah. That, oh, well, I mean, if you're breastfeeding and even later in life, like, you're farther postpartum, you've had your cycle back during ovulation and during your cycle, those organs are going to descend farther into the cavity just because of the hormonal fluctuations. Maybe someday you were on your feet all day long and you've been moving heavy furniture. Like maybe you move into a new house and then you also worked out and you have 30,000 steps that day at the zoo. Like there is a thing as pelvic floor fatigue where your pelvic muscles get tired, right? They're just like any other muscle in the body. And so like that also plays a role in where your organs are in space. So that's the reassurance we like to provide patients, like especially with me when I'm working with higher level athletes, because it's like, just because you worked out really hard, that might be why it's feeling a little bit heavier today. Like, but tomorrow, it'll go back to normal. So it's just that constant reassurance that, hey, this doesn't have to be forever. And there's constant fluctuations, just like you just mentioned.
Yeah, so important. And then the other point that I want to hit on that you mentioned is just the psychological impact of getting a prolapse diagnosis. And like you said, why you don't like to focus on the grade so much. I think that's so vital for people because it can just become so spirally in
Oh
people's
my goodness.
brains.
Yes.
And then that impacts how they are feeling and then sensations in their body. And that symptomatic sensation of the prolapse itself too.
Absolutely. Oh my goodness. You just said everything so spot on. Like, I can't tell you the amount of times like I'll get a DM from somebody like, well, I've been diagnosed with a grade 3 prolapse of a cystocele and a rectocele and my uteral cele. Like, okay. Thank you for sharing that information. Like it's very valuable, but like to me, like I feel for them because it's like their doctor told them that, and now they're like, well, that's what I identify with. Like that's what I have, and that is what it is. And it's like, okay, you have all three, and it's a grade three, but that doesn't mean that like your organs are falling out of your body, and now you're broken, and now you can't do anything. And women literally stop exercising completely because of a diagnosis like this. So like, I have no idea what's safe. Rightfully so. There's no education out there. I understand, obviously, the confusion around this, but it comes down to, okay, who gave you that diagnosis and what did they tell you afterwards? What's the language? What's the narrative around it? Because then again, like oftentimes too, like when a doctor's like tell them a scale, okay, it's this, 1 to 4, right? 4 is the worst. And if they're diagnosed with a 3, they're like, oh shoot, well, if I have a 4, then I'm gonna need surgery. Or if I do anything, it's going to a grade 4 and I'm gonna need, a surgical replacement or a hysterectomy. And then they you know, it completely sends them into a spiral, which I absolutely like. Usually I'll just tell somebody if, when I was working in the clinic and I, you know, assessed it, I was like, well, I mean, it's, you know, maybe like a grade two, grade three, but, and I like immediately reassure them. And then that provides them a little bit of hope, a little bit of caution, like, okay, I can do something about this, instead of like grade two, grade three, like, well, you better not lift anything anymore because you're going to make it worse. Like, and it's not that doctors completely flat out say that, but it's not that they don't, right? They're not reassuring on the back end. So oftentimes it's like a grade three, grade four, and they're like, well, we can just do a prolapse repair and put a sling in, and, or we can just take it all out. And it's like, well, I'm 35. What do you mean you're going to take it all out? So
yeah. Like, refer to us first.
Please send them to me.
Yes. Okay. Excellent. Super good advice. So then let's slightly, you know, bit of a difference, but really same rules apply. Let's say someone is 2 years postpartum. They have been lifting, you know, since early on postpartum. They're feeling good in their body. Yeah. However, maybe they've had some leaking and they go to pelvic PT and they're diagnosed with a prolapse as well too. Mm-hmm. What do you do for that person moving forward? Maybe they are having then a lot of doubt, fear. Maybe they're thinking that the exercise has caused the prolapse. Yeah. Maybe they're just getting really in their head about it. How do you get them to continue moving, to feel confident in their bodies?
Totally. Great question. I love this because typically when they're coming later, like 2 years or 4 years, like this is like the time where it's like reactive PT, right? It's like pelvic floor PT at 6 weeks is like, okay, I'm going to go there. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to get ahead of the game. Like my doctor told me to do. We love that. But then at 2 years, 4 years, it's like, ooh, like I thought I was invincible. Like I never went to PT after pelvic or after birth, like no symptoms can get me. And now they're showing up 2 or 3 years later, which is great. We are okay with reactive, right? But at that same time, it's like, okay, we're doing an evaluation. Like typically when I do like an evaluation, I'm listening to their symptoms. I'm like, okay, you have leakage, maybe a little bit of pressure, like heaviness in the pelvis, like after you're lifting, or maybe a little bit of like, you know, trouble with like going to the restroom if it's like a rectus seal or something. Like they're kind of showing all these signs of prolapse. You know, I'll be like, okay, well, those symptoms like are, you know, also a side effect of having a prolapse, but that doesn't mean you have it, right? If we, you know, test them and we're like, okay, yeah, like, you know, in this position, you know, maybe standing, you're a grade one or a grade two, but supine, you're, you know, nothing, or grade one, right? So you're reassuring them, okay, when you're standing, it might be a little bit lower, but also you're having symptoms, right? So that tells me like your pelvic floor is weak. And then also we're also looking at, okay, how are you breathing? You know, can you even engage your deep core? Can you engage your pelvic floor? Like, are you upper ab gripping? Do you have rib flare? Like, are you showing all of these like signs and symptoms of just like overall pelvic girdle weakness? You know, maybe rib flaring, maybe inability to activate the deep core. So, and posture and things like that. So we're looking mechanically. Okay, what are you doing day to day? Like, what does your habits look like? How are you lifting? You know, because the symptoms that you're having might not be from a prolapse. It might be because you don't know how to manage pressure well. It might be because you don't know how to actually engage that deep core because you never learned properly. Someone never taught you. Someone never told you, you know, how to actually stand, how to bring those ribs back down after having twins or something, right? Like there's so many mechanical things that like just mechanically, physically wise that can contribute to symptoms, but doesn't always mean like your prolapse is causing those symptoms. Like you have prolapse, you can also have leakage, but that doesn't mean because you have prolapse, you have leakage. Like it's correlation, not causation, right? So typically it's like a conversation like that, right? Like, okay, yeah, you might have, you know, prolapse, but your leakage, maybe that leakage is occurring when you're jumping rope because you're not breathing. Maybe because your rib position is not, you know, over your hips, or like a deadlift, for example. Maybe you're valsalving and bearing down on that pelvic floor. And it's not because of the prolapse. It's because you're literally putting all of your pressure in your abdomen downward on that pelvic floor. So those are the types of questions I'm asking. I'm typically looking at lifestyle. And then I'm looking at mechanically, how are you standing in front of me day to day? How do you do the dishes? How do you pick up your kiddos, right? And then also, how do you lift? You know, do you have a video of you deadlifting? Can I see you deadlift in the clinic? Can I see you jump rope? So those are the things I like to look at, because it often tells more of the story, like way more of the story than someone just saying like, yeah, I have leakage when I jump rope. And it's like, well, let's break it down. Why do you have leakage? It's not because of prolapse, because you have XYZ going on.
So then is it safe to say that you're not really changing too much with their exercise program? We're just more so looking at the strategy around it.
Totally. Yeah. It's not one of these things where it's like you have to completely stop what you're doing. You just need to manage your pressure. You need to manage your symptoms. Like, can you activate your core? Can you get mobility to that pelvic floor? Is it stuck? Can we bring your ribs down? How can we improve your breathing mechanics? Improve your posture? Improve everything. Your glute strength, your hamstring strength, your hip flexors. Like, looking at all these other things, like, let's look at the bigger picture, because it's not just about, okay, you have prolapse, you have leakage, and like, that's it. Yep, you're done for, right? And you just got to look at everything, manage the symptoms, look at how you're doing something, and then you can still do that same activity. Let's just manipulate it a little bit. Maybe it's less reps. Maybe it's less load. Maybe we focus on breathing in and out every single repetition, right? We can bring it back to foundational principles, but it's not like you have to completely stop. You'll never be able to deadlift again, or you'll never be able to squat heavy again. Just like, no, let's just bring it back, fix the foundational, right? It's like a house, right? If there's a leakage and if there's a leak in the house, there's a crack in the foundation. Same thing with after having a baby, right? Our core is completely compromised, right? Our pelvic floor is compromised, especially the vaginal birth. We have to fix those cracks and imbalances in the foundation of the body. Once we do that, you can do whatever you want to do again. You just have to manage it.
Yes. Yes. I love it. I think that this is actually reminding me of a conversation I was having with a client this morning who is deadlifting heavier than she has ever yesterday, has a bit of lower back pain today. Oh. And she was like, what do I do? I'm like, I'm not worried about that in the least.
Yeah.
That to me seems like supernatural that would happen after this. And here's what we're going to do next time. We're just going to tweak the breathing slightly and we're going to do the same thing. And that's how I respond to folks with prolapse as well, too, who might be symptomatic during or after a workout. I'm not scared. And I don't need you to be scared either. We're just going to make some minor adjustments and see how the body responds next time.
Absolutely. That's all you have to do. Like, it's that constant reassurance. Like, I have a client right now who has all three prolapses, right? And she's back to CrossFit. Her and her husband own a CrossFit gym. And like, we added jump rope the other day and, you know, she got really symptomatic from that. And I was just like, okay, your pelvic floor threshold is not ready for that activity yet, right? Like, you felt symptomatic afterwards because we weren't ready, and that's okay. We're just going to tweak something a little bit different in your programming, add something a little bit less impact, gain your threshold with that, and then we'll go back to that. Like, and like, that's what they appreciate. They're like, hey, my PT, my coach, my trainer has my best interests at heart. I trust them. They're doing what they know how to do. And if I put my trust in them, I'm going to succeed, right? I'm not going to make this worse. And it's just constant reassurance. And more than anything, like, when it comes to prolapse, like, it literally comes down to mechanics, like breathing, posture, deep core engagement, pelvic floor engagement, and more than anything, hip mobility. Because if you don't have the hip mobility, you're going to use your back. You're not going to be able to tap into that deep core. You're not going to be able to breathe well. You're not going to be able to manage that pressure. So really, if you have a prolapse diagnosis, there's so many things to look at other than just like, hey, you got to breathe. You just got to breathe. Most people are like, I'm trying to breathe. I don't know. Like, I thought I was doing it right. So it's a lot. And there's a lot of cueing and things, and it can get confusing. But really, it comes down to working with somebody that really just knows what they're doing, right? It's not going to a personal trainer at a regular global gym that has no experience in pregnancy and postpartum to get you back to where you want to be. Like, it really does come down to working with somebody that, you know, knows mechanically the body, has the experience, probably a pelvic floor specialist or a pregnancy and postpartum specialist, like somebody who knows what happens to the body when you become pregnant and postpartum.
Yes, please, please.
Please do us all a favor. Otherwise, you're going to come to me at month or year three.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Hopefully for those folks listening in, our exercisers with prolapse, we just want you to know too that it is so much simpler than you might think.
Oh my gosh,
often to be exercising without prolapse symptoms, like consistently, chronically, and if symptoms flare, to then be able to bring them back down. That process will happen quicker and quicker over time as well too. And then I just want to say to the clinicians listening in as well, it's actually just so much more rewarding and also simpler when you begin to coach in these ways and getting people, you know, back to moving how they want to move, exercising how they want to exercise with prolapse, than just taking them out of all the things. Like, that doesn't actually work. That doesn't help anyone in any regard. So we really do have to switch to this way of coaching and treating.
Honestly, it really comes down to that. Like it, you said it, coaching. Like we're a physical therapist, but we need to be coaching. We don't pull, we don't take away. We coach first, right? We help them, we guide them, we reassure them. And honestly, like you can still do the same stuff. It's coaching, right? It's making sure you're giving them that confidence versus just giving them exercises. Tell them why, explain to them why, show them the progressions, because then they understand it, right? So it's like this client that I was just telling you about who has all three prolapses. She initially went to a pelvic floor PT in upstate New York who told her, well, you're just going to have to give up CrossFit. And then even her Eurogyne told her, like, yeah, you're just, you know, we can give you a pessary, but otherwise we're just going to have to do surgery. Otherwise you're going to have to stop CrossFit, right? And it's like, CrossFit is her life. She had two kiddos. Like, she is a very successful woman, like, clinic, like she's a clinical psychologist, and like she is very, very busy and wants to be able to lift and CrossFit because that brings her joy and that takes, you know, that makes her feel like alive. And robbing somebody of that joy is like, I hate it. I hate that. I hate that narrative, and I hate that people do that. And it's like, if you can't treat it, find another resource for someone else to treat it. Like, don't just tell them to stop. That's not fair to them. So I really, really like love when people are on the same page that I am and spread the same narrative, because it's like, they can do the same stuff. They're not broken. Their pelvic floors aren't broken. They're real people too. Just like a rotator cuff surgery. Like a Tommy John throwing surgery. It's like, these people can get back to their athletics. Why can't people with prolapse also get back to their athletics?
Yes.
So, it's
the same narrative. Absolutely. Yeah. We don't have to be so, so scared of it all.
Totally. Totally.
Okay, so fun talking with you. Is there anything that we didn't touch on that you want to hit before we wrap up?
No, I think I spilled the beans pretty good today on all things prolapse. Just remember, if you are somebody who's listening to this and you have, or you are a patient, you are a client who's, or even anybody, you can be a clinician and also pregnant and postpartum and had a diagnosis of prolapse, like you can get back to doing whatever you want to do, and don't let anybody flip the script. Be your own advocate. If you have a provider in your corner that's telling you to stop, then find somebody else. Like, you have so many options out there, so many options, limitless at your, you know, fingertips. And don't just settle for somebody in your hometown, settle for somebody near you. There's people all over the world that can help you with these types of things. You just have to search for it and be your own advocate. So leave it with that.
Hell yeah. Okay, Courtney, where can people find you on the internet?
I am on all over the internet, on social media, the Female Athlete Doc, DOC, same thing for my website, and Instagram, TikToker, YouTuber, Pinterester, all of it. So I'm happy, and I have tons of like resources on my page and my content, right? So I have so many things about prolapse. I have so many things about leakage and low back pain and any typical postpartum diagnosis you would find. I have something about it, I promise. So you can find it there.
Yes, amazing. Okay, go follow Dr. Courtney. We'll link to all your things in the show notes of this episode. And again, thank you for being on. So fun to chat.
Thank you so much for having me.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the To Birth and Beyond podcast. You can find any links or resources we discussed in the show notes at tobirthandbeyond.com.
And if you enjoyed today's show, we would love for you to leave us a review on iTunes and subscribe to the To Birth and Beyond podcast in iTunes or Stitcher.